Okay, good morning, everybody. It's the 7th of the month of Av, 5780. It's the 28th of July, 2020. The Mizmor that we're going to talk about this morning is Tefillah LeMoshe Shalokim, a psalm associated with Moshe Rabbeinu. It's not the only one. It's a tradition that the next 11 psalms, inclusive this of one, are actually from Moshe Rabbeinu. There's a lot of discussion about that, but there's good reason, in terms of the language of the beginning of the Mizmor, to suggest that it is Moshe. Tefillah LeMoshe Ish Elokim, Adonai Ma'on Atah Hayisalanu B'dor V'dor V'terem Harim Yuladu V'atechol El-Retz V'atevel. That use of the language that Hashem Ma'on Atah Hayisalanu, a sense of God as a fortress, is reminiscent, as many of the Meforshim note, about the Pasuk in Zos HaBracha, and Zos HaBracha seems like a particularly relevant text here, because in Zos HaBracha we're told, V'Zos HaBracha Sher Berach Moshe Ish Ho Elokim as Bnei Yisrael, and here we have Tefillah Moshe Ish Elokim. In Zos HaBracha, famously, the last section of the Torah, Chasan Torah starts, Me'onah Elohe Kedem Mitachas Veros Olam Ve'Garish Mipanecha Oyev Vayomer Hashmed. So that used the language of Ma'on, the abode of the God of ancient times, Mona Eloi Kedem, would seem to point in the direction of Moshe's authorship. But I want to focus on this morning is the idea of Moshe as the Ish HaElokim. Now, the term Ish is central in the entire career of Moshe Rabbeinu. Vayhi bayamim ahim vayigdal Moshe v'yitzei lecha vayar v'sivosam vayar Ish Mitzri ma'ke Ish Shivri me'achav. There were two men, and they represented different cultures, and they represented different socioeconomic statuses, a master and a slave. Vayifan kova chova yar ki ein ish. Despite the fact that there are obviously two anashim there, Moshe saw that there was no ish to rise to the occasion. The spirit of the Mishnah in Avos, makom shein anashim yishtadel liyos ish, vayaches hamitzri vayitmineu b'chol. Some of the Hasidic interpretations that I think actually get to a very deep place with respect to this pasuk. Vayifan kova chova yar ki ein ish was also Moshe looking not just externally, was somebody going to rise to do justice, but looking internally and saying, here I am, I'm born to a Jewish family, I'm raised in the palace. Rashi commented that Paro already had singled out Moshe for greatness, minei al beso. So who am I exactly, and what is my destiny? Vayar ki ein ish. I cannot live. A house divided against itself, Lincoln said, cannot long stand, and the same thing would of course be true for a human being, vayaches hamitzri, and so Moshe cast his lot with the Jewish people. Of course, it's a long and it's a winding road, but the fact of the matter is that Moshe continues to be characterized as an ish some 6 or 7 decades later when he returned to take the Jewish people out of the land of Egypt. We're told that the Jewish people were held in esteem by the Egyptians after years of denigration. Gam ha'ish Moshe, the Ish Moshe, gadol ma'od beretz Mitzrayim b'nei avdei faro b'nei ha'am, Moshe as an Ish stood out above it all. Even in the context of a generally depressing episode, the Egel HaZahav, ze ha'ish Moshe, asher helanu meretz Mitzrayim lo yadanu mehayelo. Moshe's status as the Ish par excellence. Ish in the language of the Chumash is always a lashon of chashivos, a language not like Adam, which reflects the earthiness of man, but this reflects the grandeur of man, Moshe Ish Ho Elokim. He was both an Ish, but it was also the closest thing on this earth to being somebody who could experience things that were normally transcendent of the human experience. To take one example, right, his time on Har Sinai, lechem lo achal, mayim lo shasa, even the end of his life, lo chasayino, lo nas lecho, the fact that he didn't experience physical degradation. All that is particularly interesting in the context of this mizmor, which talks about how human life is so frail and fragile and vulnerable to begin with, tashev enosh hadaka vatomer shuvu ebnei adam, that people in their old age tend to recede into various forms of senescence and breakdown of their physicality. And so, ironically, Moshe sort of stood out above that, even though, of course, he did meet his own mortal end, as all mortals do. Vayamusha Moshe Eved Hashem, Be'eretz Moav Al Pi Hashem. Nonetheless, more than anybody else, he transcended the experience, which is captured in this mizmor, of Tashev Enosh Ad Dakah, of the desiccation that often comes with the ace zikna. Just one final thought based on the Medrash, which knows Moshe as the Isho Elohim, playing off the word that Elohim doesn't only mean the man of God, but Elohim in the Chumash, of course, is a reference to the Beitin, that the Pasuk in Mishpatim says that the various interlocutors in a case of, in a court case, by Gruv Baal Habayis, Elho Elohim, they come to the Beitin, Vigisho Adonav Elho Elohim, in the context of the Eved, so the Elohim represents the Beis Din. Now, the Medrash says that Moshe was an Ish HaElohim because he was an Ish Dina. He was the paragon of justice. And I think this relates to a pasuk in last week's parasha when Moshe was telling the judges that Yitro had told him to appoint, and again, it's not incidental that those judges are referred to as Anashim as well. Havu Lacham Anashim Chachamim Nevonim V'yiduim L'shiftechem. They should be Anashim, people of significance. And it says in that context, Lo Sakiru Fanim Bamishpat Kakadon Kakaton Kagadol Tishmaun Lo Saguru Mipnei Ish. You shall not fear any man Ki Amishpat L'Elokim Hu. The Ramban comments is that really Kila Lokim Lasos Mishpat Ben Yitzurav, that the work of justice, the work of din, is really God's work. And now there are human agents in this world that do that work, and they are considered Shluchei Hamakom. They are considered agents and emissaries of the Lord, and people in those positions, if they're not going to abide by divine justice, Harei Ma'altem Bishlichuso, they have repudiated and desecrated that sacred mission and that sacred mandate. So part of Moshe being an Ish Ho'elohim was in fact him being an Ish Ho'elohim, was in fact him being a man of great justice. And that justice, of course, I think we primarily associate with after Matan Torah. As the Gemara says, Yikov Hadin Asahar, Moshe's fidelity and faithfulness to the letter of the law, contrary to Aaron's approach, which was to try to make some kind of a synthesis of Emes and Shalom, Tzedakah and Mishpat. We already talked about that. Aharon as the paragon of Pshara, which ultimately carries the day. But Moshe was affiliated with Din and with justice. So that may be our primary association after Matan Torah, but there's an association before Matan Torah as well, as I mentioned, because Moshe's first foray, when we first meet Moshe Rabbeinu, the very, very first time, what happened? Vayar ki ein ish. He saw there was nobody to stand up for judgment. Again, Zos HaBracha Asher Beirach Moshe Ish HaElokim, whether it was before Matan Torah or after Matan Torah, whether it was general ethical morality, again, pre-Sinai or halachic morality, after Sinai, halachic morality, of course, building on general morality, Derech Eretz Kadmo Torah, Moshe was always for Lahatzil Ha'ashuk Miyad Oshko, to save the one who is oppressed from his or her oppressor, and that is part of what makes Moshe the Ish HaElokim. He is the most faithful Shaliach, right, in this world, in terms of that divine mission. Ki Amishpat LeElokim Hu, Moshe was the paradigm of a human being that reached that level as an Ish HaElokim, a man of God, specifically because he was an Ish HaElohim, a man of the courts, a man of justice, a man of the law, whose every move in this world was meant to uphold law, whether it was pre-Sinai ethical law, whether it was post-Sinai ethical halachic law as well. Wishing everybody a continued meaningful day during this Shavua Shechalbo.